Okay, what we're going to do this afternoon is a little bit unusual for our shiur. What we're going to speak about is one Rashi at the very beginning of this week's parsha, and we're only going to focus on this Rashi alone. Now, when we study and focus on a Rashi, we have to remember that Rashi, although he is one of many commentaries on Chumash, and there are many other Rishonim and Achronim, and since many, many commentaries on the Chumash itself, Rashi, for some reason, is considered to be in a league of his own in his commentary on Chumash. And the Ramban already is one of the Gedolei HaRishonim who lived right after Rashi, who tells us that in his opinion, Rashi was considered to be head and shoulders above everybody else. The Ramban says, "Va'asim lema'ar p'nei neros ha-menorah ha-tahora, ateres tzvi u'tzviras tefara." The Ramban is using terminology from Yeshaya HaNavi, and that is the way that he describes the commentary of Rashi on Chumash, how this is the pinnacle of any commentary, and he says that it is woven in with Mikra, Mishnah, Gemara. Rashi knew everything as he was writing his commentary on the Chumash itself. Ubidvarev egeba avasam eshke, he says, because I love it so much, therefore I spend so much time to understand it. Now you'll ask, if the Ramban really appreciated Rashi so much, how does he disagree with him so much? The answer is, that's exactly the point. If you believe that every word in Rashi is there for a reason, then you really have to scrutinize and study every word carefully and best understand it. I remember Rav Asher Weiss once told me that the greatest posuk of the last generation that he feels was, he said, by all standards, where Moshe Feinstein was head above everybody else in the generation. And he said, there's nobody that I appreciate arguing with more than Rav Moshe Feinstein, because since we take his tshuva so seriously, and since everything that Rav Moshe wrote is so much a staple of all of halacha today for our generation, so we have to really work hard to understand everything that Rav Moshe said, and once in a while when there's something we don't understand, we need to ask and we need to question when it would be somebody else. So if you don't like what he said, you move on and you don't bother yourself too much with it. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, again, not exactly the same, but the Ramban here writes that because he held so highly of Rashi, that is why he took so much time to scrutinize every word that Rashi said and to try to best understand everything that Rashi wrote. Rabbeinu Tam, who is a grandson of Rashi, as we know, writes that his grandfather wrote many commentaries, and one of them was on Chumash, and one of them was on the Gemara, on Shas. Now, we don't have Rashi on every Masechta, we have Rashi on almost all of Shas, but says Rabbeinu Tam, I would be able to do the same as my grandfather. I could also write a pirush on all of Shas. And Rabbeinu Tam did have a lot to say on all of Shas. However, he says, when it comes to my grandfather's commentary on Chumash, that is something that I was not able to do. That is something that was unique to Rashi. And what Rashi was able to accomplish, it has become the major staple of how we learn Chumash today. Everybody learns Chumash with Rashi. Every Chumash is printed with Rashi because it's so much the pshuta shel mikra, it's so much the understanding of what it's all about. So much so that the Chidah writes in the Shem HaGdolim. The Shem HaGdolim is basically the Chidah's encyclopedia of many different Gedolim that lived throughout the generation. So the Chidah, I don't know where he gets this from, but he says he has a tradition that Moshe Rabbeinu, his Gala L'Rashi, Moshe Rabbeinu revealed himself to Rashi, and he said, Ashrecha, lucky you, Rashi, shekidvarecha kibalti mipi hagvura. That the way that you explained, that you expanded upon the Chumash itself, that is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind when he told me the original text of the Chumash. So he had Moshe Rabbeinu's haskama. That's not bad. Usually somebody writes a sefer, they get a haskama. Who knows who's giving the haskama? Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, you wrote a sefer on Chumash, and this is exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind when he taught me the Torah itself. That is pretty amazing. Says the Chidah, that is a tradition that he has about the interaction that took place between Rashi and Moshe Rabbeinu. And then he quotes also many other sources that say, the Shalah among them, that Rashi seems to have written this pirush on Chumash, Beruach HaKodesh. How we know that, I have no idea. But that's what the tradition has it. Rashi himself writes in a number of places that he learned something through Ruach HaKodesh. They all quote that Rashi writes in Navi that when he's describing all of the measurements and exactly the way the Beis HaMikdash looked, in Sefer Yecheskel he says, Ani lo hayali lo rav velo ozer b'chol ha-binin hazeh. I did not have any helpers to explain this all to me. Ela kemo sheharuni min ha-shamayim. Rashi himself writes that I'm just describing what I was shown from heaven, and that's what I'm putting forth to you when I say this commentary on Sefer Yecheskel. So Rashi is very, very important. We turn to Rashi in the very beginning of our parsha, and we have Yaakov Avinu is in the house of Laban, and there he says, Im Laban Garti, Rashi has the famous comment that I lived in the home of Laban for a number of years, Vitaryag Mitzvah Shamarti, and says Yaakov Avinu, I observed, I kept, I adhered to all the Taryag mitzvos. V'lo lamadativ mimaisim harayim. And I was not able to, I made sure not to learn from the terrible evil ways of Lavan HaRasha. And I made sure to stay the person who I know I am true to be. And I was not changing myself just because I found myself in a different set of circumstances. So one has to ask themselves, how was Yaakov successful? How was he able to have the strength and the fortitude to stand strong in the house of Lavan? I imagine all those who lived around Lavan were not in the same kind of personality or understanding as Yaakov Avinu. So how was he able to withstand this terrible atmosphere that he was in? So some say the answer is in the beginning of the sentence. It says, Im Lavan Garti, that Yaakov Avinu said, I see that I considered myself as a stranger, as an alien, as a person who was a foreigner. I was not somebody who considered myself an associate or a companion of Lavan HaRasha. Yes, I lived in his house, and yes, I was with him all the time, but I always knew him Lavan Garti. I am not here, this is not my residence, this is not my place, it's not where I belong. I'm different. Ivri Anochi. Like we find later on in Chumash, that a person has to be able to stand up and say, Im Lavan Garti, I am not the person who lives in this place. I may interact with many of them, but I do not allow it to influence myself. And that is lesson number one from this Rashi, that even though we have many circumstances where we're put in unfavorable surroundings, and sometimes it's not exactly with what we were raised, and sometimes it's not exactly up to the standard in which we should be, Yaakov Avinu teaches us, if you want to be able to have the courage and the strength to overcome that new set of circumstances, the only way to do that is, number one, to remember, Im Lavan Garti. You are not a companion. You are not an associate. You are not a person who lives there. You are not a person who's a part of it. All you are is somebody who happens to be there for the time being, temporary. You're an alien. You're a stranger. You're a foreigner. This is not what I'm about, and it does not define me. And Yaakov Avinu says that is how he was successful. But Rav Ruderman, who was the previous Rosh Hashiva of Ner Yisrael, has a very fascinating insight in which he says, I don't understand. Yaakov Avinu says, like Rashi quotes, Taryag mitzvah shamarti. While I was in the home of Lavan, I kept Taryag mitzvahs. V'lo lamadativ mimaisim haram. I didn't learn from his ways. Obviously, says Rav Ruderman, if you kept Taryag mitzvahs, it means you didn't learn from his ways. If, as we know, he would have taken the advice and the counsel of Lavan HaRasha, he would never have been able to keep Taryag mitzvahs. Says Rav Ruderman, mistake. It's not correct, because so often we look around the world and you see that there could be a person who claims to be an Orthodox Jew, who is so conscientious, who is so careful, who is so scrupulous to make sure that they keep every one of the Taryag mitzvahs. And he says sometimes it's even behidurav, even with all the chumras and with all the hidurim. And the bottom line is the person does not understand what it means to be a Jew. With all the chumras and with all the hidurim and with all the Taryag mitzvahs, you're missing the objective of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, to be an upstanding Jew. And Yaakov Avinu says, I did both. I kept Taryag mitzvahs. But on top of all of that, I made sure to always be a person, lo lamadativ mimaisim harayim. It's not just that I checked off the boxes and made sure that I did all the Taryag mitzvahs that I was supposed to observe. I made sure that I also lived an honorable lifestyle. I made sure that I did not allow myself to be influenced from him at all, because that is the consummate experience of what it means to be a Jew. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects so much more from us, not just the Taryag mitzvahs alone. And that is a great shvach that Rashi says about Yaakov Avinu, that he was able to have and accomplish both of those aspects, both of those elements in his observance as a Jewish person. The Ramchal writes in the very beginning of the Mesilas Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Lotzato has in his introduction, that he says, Im tizbonein behove berova olam. He says, if you look around the world, you will find, ki rov anshe haseichel hapikchem acharifim. He says, there are many people who will spend time very intellectual. That's the way that they'll spend their lives, trying to understand. And he says, some people have intellectual curiosity to science, and says the Ramchal, some people have intellectual curiosity to agriculture, and some people are interested in all kinds of things. And he says, some people are very intellectually curious about Limud HaTorah, about learning. However, he says, even those people who spend their lives intellectually curious and trying to understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is all about, he says, Ach ma'atim yiyu min amin hazeh, asher yikvu iyun v'limud shel inyanei shleimus ha'avoda. Says the Ramchal, even if you spend your entire life learning Torah, that is not everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants more than that. And he said, you can be as intellectual as possible, you can be a great Talmud Chacham, but he says, you have to make time to think about Shleimus HaAvodah, which means, Al HaAva V'Al HaYira, Al HaDveikus, V'Al Shar Chelkei HaChasidus. It doesn't mean Hasidism. It means Hasidus, that a person should be living an upstanding lifestyle. And says the Ramchal, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us. That's what He expects of us. It's not good enough, the Taryag Mitzvos, but it expects more of us, which is Lo Lamadativ Mimaisim Haroim. And says the Ramchal, it's important that we make time to focus on that as well. But let's mention one additional point before we dive in Mincha, and that is an observation of Rav Meir Shapiro, where he says that over here Yaakov Avinu says that he lived in the home of Lavan, V'taryag mitzvah shamarti, v'lo lamadativ mimaisim haroim. Says Rav Meir Shapiro, maybe this is to be understood a little bit differently. And I found that the Chafetz Chaim has the same insight. His great Talmud, Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, quotes it from the Chafetz Chaim. So Rav Meir Shapiro and the Chafetz Chaim lived around the same time. Maybe it was just an idea that was surfacing at the time. And they say, perhaps Yaakov Avinu here meant that he was lamenting the fact that he didn't learn from Lavan. So yes, I was put in very unfortunate circumstances, and I really did not want to be here. I would have been much happier being in the home of my father, the great Tzaddik Yitzchak. I would have been happy staying with my mother. But unfortunately, this is where I am. But as long as I was here, I should have at least taken advantage. There was so much that I could have learned from the Maisim Haroim of Lavan. And they suggest that even when you see somebody who lives life doing evil, even when you see somebody who lives life living like Lavan Harasha, living like Lavan Ha'arami, there's what to learn from that individual as well that I can implement into my observance, into my practice. And says Rav Meir Shapiro, Yaakov Avinu here was saying that he feels bad that he didn't take advantage of that opportunity, which again flips the Rashi on its head. He didn't take advantage of that opportunity to learn Mimaisav Harayim, to learn from the evil ways of Lavan and implement those in a way which could be positive, which really is a pasuk that many Mefarshim struggle with in Tehillim. Me'oivai techakmeni mitzvosecha. So some suggest what it means is, from my enemies, from the evildoers, I was able to learn a way in which I am able to observe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvos in an even greater way. One of the great Chassidish Rebbes, Rav Naftali Rupshitzer, said that there are many things we can learn from a ganav. What can you learn from a ganav? He says, number one, a ganav is willing to be moser nefesh for what he really wants. He wants to steal. He covets something. He sees an item in another person's house. He's willing to put his life on the line. He's being moser nefesh. Can you imagine if he's caught in the middle of the night breaking into someone's house, the police will arrest him, they'll lock him up in jail, or somebody can shoot him, but yet he's willing to be moser nefesh. Number one, learn from a ganav that when you really want something, you have to be willing to be moser nefesh for it. Number two, he says, a ganav does all of his activity b'hatznei aleches. He's afraid of being caught. So he doesn't want any attention. He does what he has to do, and he wants to make sure that nobody is aware of what he's doing. And said the Rupshitzer, maybe we should think about the same. If I have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's what for me to accomplish in that relationship, what does it matter if I get recognition? Why should I care if other people are aware of what it is that I'm doing or not doing? That should not be something that I care about either. Number three, he says, we can learn from a ganav that if he's not successful this time, he will try again. And he will continue to try over and over again until he gets what it is that he wants. And he said, this is the same. Sometimes it's difficult for us. And I say, I sit down and I try to study this, or I try to master that, or I try to do this mitzvah, and it just becomes very, very difficult. It's cumbersome for me. It's not something that is easy to come by. And yet, he writes that perhaps this is something we can learn. It's something I can learn from my enemy, which is the God of himself doesn't allow those hurdles to get in his way. And he will do it, and he will try over and over again until he is finally successful. Number four, he says, a ganav is oved ben beyom u ben balayla. A ganav works all the time. Day hours, night hours, it doesn't make a difference. He'll do whatever he has to do whenever it's convenient. Somebody goes out to work and now his house is available because nobody's around. The ganav will make sure to be there to break into the house during the day. If the person is sleeping at night and it's quiet in the house, he'll make sure to be there at night because my job is to get the objective that I have set forth in my mind. And therefore, said the Rupshitzer, that's exactly what it means. They quote that there's some comment of the Zohar HaKadosh. I have no idea where it is, but I assume it's probably in last week's Parsha. So the Zohar HaKadosh is quoted as saying in the end of Parshas Toldos that the Geula will not come until we learn from the tears of Esav. What are the tears of Esav? Last week, we know that Esav was infuriated over the fact that his father gave the brachos to his brother Yaakov, and he skipped over him, and he says, this was really supposed to be mine. And Esav, Ayisa, Esav, Kolo Vayev, he begins to cry, and he's so sincere in his crying. And ultimately, as we know, his tears were accepted, and Yaakov Avinu, although he got the brachos, Yitzchak figures out how to give another bracha to Esav, even though it wasn't supposed to be the plan. So the Zohar HaKadosh apparently says that Lo Tavo HaGeula, the Geula will not come until we understand that we shall learn from the tears of Esav, which means the same thing. Esav cried until he got what it is that he wanted. He wanted a bracha from his father, although they were given away. He said, I will not leave, and I cry enough until I get what it is that I want. And the Zohar HaKadosh teaches us that is the same for all of us. If we want a Geula, we need to sincerely tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu the same way Esav cries for what he wants, and he gets it. We need to cry for what it is that we want, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be able to say that he will provide us with that as well. But all of this is encapsulated in that very one simple phrase of Rashi. Im lavan garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti v'lo lamadati mimaisav arayim. Like we said, there's so much to be learned just from one simple statement of Rashi. And Rashi, as we said, the Shema Gedolim writes, Rashi was written b'ruach HaKodesh. And therefore, there's what to study, there's what to think about. And every word of Rashi that we learn, every parsha which Rashi has something to say, we have to look carefully at those words and see what it is that we can take away from everything that Rashi teaches all of us.